Impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'ma
tell you what you need. All right, you need to know. That need to know is brought to you by Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier, and the Corona Hard Seltzer. If you're watching your waistline, zero sugars, zero carbs. That's what you get with the Corona Hard Seltzer. Get it wherever you buy your Corona. Also, you can watch your carbs, your calories, your sugars with the Corona Premier. Check it out right now at any location where you buy your Corona. Let's get started today with the news from the Kansas City Chiefs. Number one, Clyde Edwards-Helaire not practicing today. This due to an illness. So we'll see. All they're saying right now is an illness. This was not originally on the plan when they gave the injuries earlier today. He was not on that list. So this is something that came up even after this morning. So no Clyde Edwards-Helaire at practice. The Chiefs also officially signed DeAndre Baker to the practice squad, releasing Chad Williams to a free up space. And left tackle Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz were formally activated from the reserve COVID list today. Schwartz did not practice. Fisher did. Okay? Fisher did. The Chiefs did meet with the media today. That is one of the things that occurred. All of the coordinators and the assistant coaches. Let's start with Dave Tobe. He was asked about Harrison Butker, whether he took a step back during the bye week to get a fresh look at the problems with the extra points.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did, and we're on the same page with that, with Butker. He had a good week off. You know, you tell a guy to take a rest and get away from it for a while, but not Butker. He's not going to do it, so he's going to go out there and kick, and he did it, and he came back yesterday, and he was really hitting the ball well, and he really looked good in practice. Hopefully put another day together today. So, so far, so good.
I think it's a matter of time before he is back to being, lethally accurate along with the distance. Don't we have to conclude that he was a little distance happy?
Yeah, probably so. I think that's part of the theories. That's probably the one that makes the most sense.
He'd been fine this year until he knocked through 258 yarders.
And then it immediately began to fall apart.
Yeah, and so I think that had to play a role somewhere in that mix. Defensively, Steve Spagnuolo talking today about Derek Carr. Derek Carr making comments that he's, if they got to shoot it out with Patrick Mahomes, they're ready to do it. When you score 40 on the Chiefs and win 40-32, I think you've got at least a leg to stand on. Don't like hearing it as a Chiefs fan. Can't like hearing it as the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. Spagnuolo asked what he expects from Carr this week based on that first meeting.
Yeah. I expect him to be as smart as he was in that game. I just thought he did a terrific job the last time we played him in getting his offense in and out of good or bad plays, however you want to look at it. He was one step ahead of us, one step ahead of me the whole time. I give him a lot of credit for that. I've always thought he was that way, and I got a lot of respect for John and what they packaged together. We're going to try to be one step ahead in more plays than they are and try to find a way to make some explosive plays ourselves. But I got a lot of respect for what they do and the quarterback that Derek is.
Derek Carr, 22 of 31 for 347, three touchdowns and an interception, a 127 passer rating in that game. I always feel better, Curtis, when a guy is willing to admit a mistake, a defeat, right? Like if you can't admit defeat, then you're insecure and don't believe that you've got to have the feeling that you may never win again, right? Steve Spagnuolo knows he's going to best a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of offensive coordinators, and he's okay admitting, hey, I got beat, right? Confident people, when you play in a competitive environment where you're not going to go undefeated, right? Being able to accept defeat, being able to accept failure, being able to accept losses is a sign of strength. It is a sign that you believe in what you're doing. It is a sign that you have confidence in yourself that you can overcome this defeat. If you can't, if you're going to roll around and act like a little baby every time you lose, or if you are going to joust with the media, right, because they talk about the time you had a failure, you're insecure. I always take that as a sign that somebody needs to be replaced when that's going on. I love that Steve Spagnuolo never has a problem walking to the podium and saying, I made a mistake. He did it in the Packer game last year, right? Mm-hmm. He said, I changed some things with our linebackers, and I'm kicking myself. I cost us that game, right? That's what he said. And he talked about Charvarius Ward. I put him in a bad spot. He's not afraid to come out and do that. That's why I have tremendous confidence that we're in good hands as Chiefs fans with Steve Spagnuolo as the defensive coordinator.
When I first heard that live, my first thought was one step ahead of me is Steve Spagnuolo's version of Andy Reid's They Got Us. And yeah. I don't know if that was something that he has – it's been the result of the influence of Andy Reid, or that was always there in Steve Spagnuolo, and that's one of the things that drew him to, or drew Andy Reid to him. But the first time I heard that, I was like, that's They Got Us. So I was really happy to hear that today.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was really cool to see him be willing to do that. And he's always done it. I'm not shocked by it, but I feel real comfortable that they've got a hell of a game plan for the Raiders this time. Yeah. One of the problems in that first game was pressure on Patrick Mahomes. The Raiders routinely rushed just four. Now, by the way, on their COVID list of six guys, it includes three starting defensive linemen. Also, their starting safety, John Abram. So there are four starters from the Raiders defense that are currently on that COVID list. The Raiders talked, John Gruden talked yesterday like everybody would be ready to play. Right, so if they're all there, they're going to have to do a better job protecting Patrick Mahomes. Mitchell Schwartz was playing in that game, and that was actually bad news because he was not healthy. We were not seeing the real Mitchell Schwartz, and we talked about that in every game, that he just wasn't moving around the way he normally does. Eric Bieniemy at the podium today, I asked the Chiefs offensive coordinator what the Raiders did to get so much pressure on Mahomes without having to bring extra people.
Well, I just thought they played, it was obvious, they played better than what we did. And at the end of the day, kudos to them. They did an outstanding job of coming in here and doing what they needed to do. I've said this before, we got exactly what we deserve. Now it's up to us to make sure that we're mentally and physically ready for the battle in which we're about to face.
No real answer there.
No, I mean, it's something
Andy
similar
Reid
to
smiled
that was
at
us.
That answer, don't you think?
Probably so. Yeah, it sounded like he was kind of saying, "Yeah, they." It almost kind of sounded like a version of "They Got Us" without actually
right.
saying it and saying what they're going to do. So it was very, very
he
political.
He basically just said, "We got it. We got to be ready to go get it done," which is fine. And I think they will. I think the biggest thing was Mitchell Schwartz. And I think they're in a better situation right now. And I think, Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy got to take some heat for the play calls. They were trying to do too many things deep that weren't coming open, and they didn't leave enough short options. So I think you'll see a different game plan. I'm confident that they will be better. Andy Heck, Chiefs offensive line coach, same question I asked to him, how the Raiders got so much pressure on Mahomes.
We came out of that thinking we've got to do a better job. We got to put our nose to the grindstone, get to work. We got outplayed there, and those guys got the win. So they did a nice job. They're, it's a young, aggressive, talented group, well-coached, and they come to play. They play the game the way it's supposed to be played. And, they got us that day. So we know the challenge that's in store for us. We know what we're capable of, and we're working our tails off to go out there and compete and get a win.
Same thing.
Got us. There was. Same thing.
He didn't say right? how they got him. He just said they got us.
It stands out so much because we don't hear it very often, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most times they don't get gotten.
Mm-mm.
Right? That doesn't happen. I am fully aware of the liberties I took with the language right there with that statement, by the way, as well.
Everyone knew what you
usually,
meant.
Usually they're not having to make that statement. Right? And
no.
So they're not afraid to do it when it does happen. They're confident that they're going to get the better of the other coaching staff more often than not. And, again, I feel like the Chiefs are in a good spot. I don't like – I talked about this earlier today, on with my buddy Steve Cofield in Vegas. He talks to a number of different bookmakers in Vegas. 93% of the money and 93% of the tickets are being written on the Chiefs, and they're not moving off seven. Because they expect that the wise guys, the big money bettors, the professional bettors, are sitting on their cash waiting for the line to go to 7.5, 8, 8.5, because all the money's going to keep coming in on Kansas City, and then they're going to pour in big bets on the Raiders. So word from Vegas is that the big money guys like the Raiders in this rematch, that this idea that just because the Chiefs lost the first time, they're going to be so pissed off that they're going to destroy the Raiders. Big money bettors in Vegas are not buying it. I'm going to stick with the Chiefs minus the points. I've said it before. I think they unload on this one. I think they empty the clip. A couple nuggets before we break and get to Bob Glauber, our NFL insider. Pac-12 is loosening its schedule restrictions here in the 2020 season. They are now going to allow non-conference football games to be played if they meet certain criteria. Michigan State and Maryland, they're not going to play. That game has been canceled because of COVID-19 concerns at Maryland, including Loxley, their head coach, who's a big guy, by the way, and not 20 either. So keep an eye on that at Maryland. Hopefully everybody is okay with that situation. The Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson, has suffered a season-ending tear to his right Achilles tendon. We got word about this last night. They just kept calling it a lower leg injury. Blew out his ACL, missed all of last year. Now going to miss all of this next year with a right Achilles tendon. All I'm going to say is this. This is why you don't pile up, you know, tens, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on 30-plus-year-old players that have played probably a season, season and a half extra over the last few years in the playoffs. And it will come back to haunt. I said when the Warriors didn't win, did they lose to the Cavs their last time in the finals?
Toronto.
Lost to Toronto.
Yeah,
I said,
six.
Have we seen the end of the Warriors? Oh, no. Well, Kevin Durant left, hurt. Yeah, they got James Wiseman, but now they're going to play without Klay Thompson. And Draymond Green and Steph Curry aren't getting any younger either. Stay tuned. It's going to be an interesting NBA season. We'll take a break, come back, talk NFL football.
The Program with Seren Petro.
Certainly I'm not proud of it, but this is locker room talk.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. They are the greatest sports writers in history. Red Smith, Grantlin Rice, Damon Runyon. One day, this man will have read them all. The Program's NFL insider, Bob Glauber.
Bob Glauber joins us, brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29, and Tiffany Springs is where you can find the biggest, best Harley-Davidson dealership in the Midwest. Check it out, new, pre-owned. They got it. You can even get pre-approved right online. Get to WorthHarley-Davidson.com or I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Of course, if you've got someone on your holiday wish list that is looking for some great Harley gear, maybe it's the Harley itself, maybe it's parts, whatever it is, you can get it right now at WorthHarley-Davidson.com. Go there today. Give them a call if you got any questions. They're at 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. You can call them at 888-769-7806. Mr. Glauber, welcome to the T-Mobile guest line. How are you?
I'm very good, sir. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I have no complaints. The NFL keeps chugging along. They have instituted now the, what's the term they use for it? The
intensive protocol.
Right, the intensive protocol. Is that going to be enough to get us to the finish line on the NFL season?
Well, it's a positive step. I don't know if it's going to be enough to get the full season in, but I will say, you know, we have passed the point where the NFL had a strike in 1982 and they only played 9 regular season games. So we're already in week 11 now, so that's encouraging, and they're going to continue to squeeze it out. So, I think they're, honestly, things are going as well as possible given the tremendous surge in cases around the country of COVID. So these intensive protocols, try to mitigate things, a lot more. It's interesting. I did talk to an epidemiologist several weeks ago. This is when things were starting to go sideways. Remember, first 3 weeks, it was like, oh, my God, wow, this is amazing. But then more cases cropped up. So this guy says, what are they doing? I said, well, they're still having meetings in person. They're still doing this. They're still practicing. No masks in practice. He says, they got it. They got to just mask everybody up as much as possible. You shouldn't have meetings in person. You should do everything remotely, if at all possible. Basically describing the intensive protocols. I said, well, okay. And then I asked the NFL docs, what about this? Well, a lot of teams have already done it because when you get positive cases, you got to go into this intensive protocol. Most of the teams have already used it to some degree. But now they're required to. And they really are cracking down because everything around us is exploding. So if they get this entire season in, man, and playoffs, God love them. Power to them. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very impressed with what they did. I will say this, though. It should have that they should have tried to find a way to start the season early. Wouldn't it have been great if we were getting ready for the Super Bowl over Thanksgiving weekend?
You're talking to a football writer. Done before Christmas? Hell yeah.
I don't mean because of your lazy ass. I mean, like that, yeah. You know, I said this about the schools, too. I said they should just go right into it right now and be shut down from, like, Thanksgiving to spring break. Like, it's not what anybody wants, but it would be the most prudent thing to do. And, you know, it's yeah, water under the bridge at this point.
Right.
But
here's what I think, and knowing the timing of it, knowing the way the NFL has thought, and they wanted to do things on time. They had their schedule. And don't forget, in the summer, things were much better, right? Yet the spring was.
Yeah, but Bob, everyone who knew anything, all the scientists were saying it's going to get bad in the cold and flu season. This is not a surprise to any of us.
No, it's not a surprise. But, you know, what are you going to do? And they're not going to bubble up. And I tell you this, Seren, you know, they took some heat for not going into a bubble because the NBA did such a good job, right? Now, we just had a Zoom call with our staff today, and the NBA writer is on. And they're talking about resuming the season, you know, the NBA season starting around Christmas time. No bubble, nothing. Just going, and they fly like crazy, and they have tiny rosters. They're dead. And, you know, I look at that, I'm like, wow. You know, they were the ultimate example. They were held up by everybody, that and the NHL. Oh, this is the way you got to do it. And now they're going to go no bubble, and the NHL is going to do that too. And I think they might get crushed. Now, they're lucky that the vaccine should be coming online around that time. And in most likelihood, you know, they're going to be first online for the vaccine.
Right, because it should be, you know, the 25-year-old healthiest people on the planet to get it first. Right.
So, but bottom line is, you know, they're going to grind through it. They've had these protocols, you know, waiting in the wings, so they're doing them now. They have to enforce them. You know, you see Tom Brady and Drew Brees talking like, you know, they're 6 inches apart after a game. I'm like, a lot of these players just don't get it. But they're gonna continue spreading the message. The union is on board with this. The owners are on board, so they'll do their best. And they have these. Don't forget, they have these expanded rosters for a reason. The practice squads are much bigger, and there is a reason. And IR is you know, much more liberal, the rules of IR. But they haven't had to use tremendous numbers of extra players on rosters. I was talking to somebody today who tracks the rookie usage in the NFL, and it's not that much higher than it has been in a normal year. I was like something like 380, where a normal year is about 450, 420, 450. It'll get higher because more rookies are going to have to play because, you know, there's going to be COVID cases. But you'd expect, given the explosion in cases around the country, you'd think that number may be higher now, and it hasn't been. And that is a credit to the teams and the players for adhering to these protocols. But they do slip sometimes. Post-game is a particular point of emphasis, and, you know, they haven't done a great job. But now, you know, masks on the sidelines during games, masks on the sidelines before games, and they're trying to do their best, so they just grind along.
The game you're talking about with Brees and Brady, I mean, I was like, are you going to kiss or what are we waiting on here?
I wanted to say that, but I'm like, I don't want to get
weird.
I'll say it. But they were close enough to kiss. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, it was awkward just from like, right? What's going on here? Like, forget about pandemic. I we'd have been making all kinds of jokes about it on Monday had it just been normal times. Pandemic,
right.
You're
right.
Like, you're just a clown.
There was a video today. I don't mean to, you know, go off the beaten path, but there was a video with Gronk and Brady. They were goofing around. They were doing like a Q&A with each other. It was fun, and it was lighthearted. They had these sunglasses on, right? So right at the beginning of it, they say, hey, Gronk, try these sunglasses. Hey, Tom, try these sunglasses. And so they, like, literally switch sunglasses. So they're touching these sunglasses. They're not wearing masks. They're apart. But or it's like it's just everything. Every time you look at things, you do it now through the lens of, you know, oh, are you being careful? I mean, that's what we do because, you know, we went through a freaking nightmare in the spring. You know, we had thousands of people dying. And now, you know, we've got it much more under control in the East, but it's just lurking there. And then in the Midwest, you know, the positivity rates are just astronomical. But people still like, so it's just the flu.
No, it's like New York. They're pulling up the freezer trucks, the morgue trucks.
Yes. It's getting bad again.
By the way, do you know how many people in Australia were at their big rugby match?
No.
49,000.
Oh my God.
I didn't read this.
Incredible.
My assumption was the numbers are so low that that's actually safe now.
Yeah, that's right. That's incredible. And you see what happens in like Australia and New Zealand, Thailand, Vietnam, China, Japan,
South Korea,
they get small numbers, right? They get very tiny outbreaks, but they would like, it looked like they were freaking out. Oh, we're going to shut down. Everyone's got to wear masks. We're going to dial it back a lot, right? And it's like, wow, they're overreacting, but they're not. They knew that it spreads exponentially. So when you can get it under control, that's incredible. That's just 49,000 people in one spot. That's ridiculous.
49,000 for a rugby match there. Like it was like the two big teams, and they had 49,000 in the stadium.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, that's where we could have been had we done what we were supposed to do.
Yes.
We could be at Arrowhead Stadium watching games.
Yeah.
Have we taken care of business in the summer?
That's correct, sir.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. DeAndre Baker. How bad was it with the Giants last year?
Well, I mean, from a off-the-field thing? We didn't.
Both?
You know, nothing was untoward going off the field, you know, going on off the field at, you know, during the season. The problem there was he couldn't play very well. And he was, you know, the veterans saw that he wasn't trying hard enough and being diligent enough with film study and the like. You know, he was a young guy with a little you know, cachet and swashbuckling, but, you know, he kind of carried himself with confidence, cocky, and he didn't cover very well. So there were games where he did pretty well. You know, teams would pick on him, and they generally expose him. But, there were some games where he kind of showed promise. But, you know, it's not what you want from your first-round pick, who you traded multiple picks to get up to take him. So it was not a good fit, and now the new coaching staff, and, you know, Joe Judge is a complete no-nonsense guy. Somebody asked him about DeAndre Baker earlier in the week, you know, after he had been cleared of all the charges. Someone asked Joe Judge, you know, what did you hear about Baker? Yeah, I just, you know, the PR guy just told me about that. You know, hey, we wish DeAndre well, and, you know, and that's pretty much it. You know, we made a decision for the best in the best interest of our team. It was like, nah, we're not even going to think about taking him back.
My feeling on players like him are I would love to be the third team, right? Because the first team, you know, if he's a jerk, he's a jerk. Second team usually rushes right in to grab him, and it's too fast for the guy to learn the lesson. Then the third team, he's actually like, I may not have a career. I got to get my crap together. And so I don't mind the Chiefs taking the shot, right? My expectation is that he will be cut. Because when I asked Andy Reid about his play on the field, by the way, you said not that bad. He was ranked number 183 amongst all corners last year by Pro Football Focus.
Yeah. Well,
it almost couldn't get worse.
Yeah,
how bad he was.
That's pretty bad.
And when I asked Andy Reid, I said, listen, a guy, he really struggled with the Giants. I said, but, you know, great career with Georgia. You know, what is it? Is a mulligan, you know, an apprenticeship year like Patrick Mahomes? Is, like, have you had experience with, like, hey, the second year, the third year with a guy at this position? Is there anything there? And he basically said, well, we've told him you got to work and you got to keep your nose clean. But he didn't even go into anything. He just – it was like he was – I'm just going to send a message that this is what you got to do.
Yeah.
And he goes, if he doesn't work and he's not on top of things, then he'll be gone.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and he's a
wow.
perfect guy to take a flyer on.
Sure, sure, I agree. But, I mean, it speaks to how bad it must have been if Andy Reid is going out of his way. I asked him just football stuff, and he took it as, okay, here's my chance to make the point I want to make.
Right. That's a fair point. There's two people there who I think will do DeAndre Baker some good, if good can be done, right? Because the kid's got to be willing. The two people are Steve Spagnuolo, who is a terrific coach, and he's very engaging. He's very up. Very positive, and he can bring out the best in you, no matter who you are. And the second person is Tyrann Mathieu, who, you know, has been through his own stuff early in his career and gets it now and is a really good leader, and he will get in your face, and he will just make it plain. Hey, you know, he's a champion. Sounds like, you know, guys, you want to be here. We're champions. You know, act like it. So I think that is, you know, goes well for DeAndre Baker. By the way, can I ask you something about Mathieu?
Mm-hmm.
He seems to really get it. Like, I love hearing him talk. I love watching him play. My God, he's just in another gear. He just seems to get it. And I asked that because he had a tweet the other day. He goes, man, I didn't know George Carlin was that good. I'm like, wow, is this guy an old soul or what?
He's great. He really is. Last year, you know, we could get
in
the locker room.
Am I right?
No, yes, 100%. He's fantastic. Everything you've said is true. Last year when we could get in the locker room, you know, early in the year, I don't think the Chiefs even realized what they had on their hands because he would just be at his locker, and I would go try to talk to him every time I could get in there. And one time he was there, and I it was probably the second or third time I'd gone over to him. By about week six, the Chiefs realized what they had on their hands, and he became off limits in the locker room, and they'd bring him to the podium kind of every other week. But before they did that, you know, he would sit there and talk, and it was like you're talking about. One time I got him, and nobody else was around, and he was laying down. You know, with his feet up on a stool, like guys will do, listening to, you know, I don't know, reading. He was reading his phone. He wasn't listening to music because I wouldn't have interrupted him. And I said, hey, can I ask you a couple of questions? He goes, yeah, and he starts to get up. And I go, no, stay there. And I got down on a knee. I didn't get all the way down on the floor where I was laying next to him.
Yeah, no,
but I got down on a knee, and he did the interview laying flat on his back.
Oh, that's great.
And it was some of the best stuff. And,
yeah,
he's great. I mean, yeah, he's absolutely – and I think he is a guy that I expect the Chiefs to rework his deal. Maybe they're working on it now because he's almost a $20 million hit next year. They're $15 million over and only have 34 guys under contract. So they've got a lot of work to do, which they can do. It's all there. I won't bore you with all the different things they can do. But I think they rework him and add 2 years onto the deal and bring the number down, help him out cap-wise, and make sure he's here because – he's a great football player, but he's a great leader, and everybody looks to him. And this is why I think, you know, we've asked a bunch of questions about DeAndre Baker to the Chiefs coaching staff, and they all, like today, all of them, Spagnuolo, Sam Madison, Andy Reid, well, when he gets here, and I'm like, it just finally became official that he's a Chief. Like, what took so long for him to get here? Now, is get here like, I know you got to go through 5 days of negative tests.
That's probably it, the COVID.
That's
the COVID.
What it probably is. But I kind of got the feeling like maybe they haven't even Zoomed with him yet. Like, you know, why hasn't it been announced that it's a done deal before now? It hasn't been 5 days. So they announced, okay, he's officially a Chief. Well, it's still not 5 days.
Right.
So it sounds to me like there was some jerkiness about just getting the contract done.
So they haven't.
I would right now,
official?
If you would give me. Let me ask you this. If you give me 2-1, maybe even money, I would bet that he never actually puts on a Chiefs uniform.
Wow. You never know. I mean, you just never know. Like he did.
I think it'll take one conversation. Sorry, Bob. One more interruption. Yeah. It'll take one conversation. And I think they will send, back to your original point, they will send Tyrann Mathieu over there. And he will talk to him. And they will watch him talk to Baker. And Baker's body language and how he reacts to Tyrann Mathieu will probably just determine whether or not he is on the team or not.
Interesting, yeah.
That's what I'd do anyway.
Mathieu is like, he's what sports and growing up and getting it is all about. You know, like the guy had issues, man. He just had issues. And to see his transformation from wayward kid who, you know, kind of just was off on his own and didn't, he had problems, right? He had, you know, he had issues, big issues. And just to see him become a mature adult and, you know, get it and understand, I find it to be tremendous. And he was really one of the most enjoyable, but besides Mahomes is just so great to watch, and he's a great person too, but to watch Matthew run that defense and get it like that, just as a player and a person, was truly special. I mean, he's just one of those truly special players that there are in the league.
Bob Glauber's our NFL insider. He's with us on our T-Mobile guest line. Let me ask you this, Bob. Let's hit these real quick because I want to get to a couple NFL notes. Jazzu J, one of our great callers, called in today. His bold and daring prediction was that the Arizona Cardinals will be in the NFC Championship game this year. How good are the Cardinals?
You know, they're good. They're like sometimes they don't know how good they are. It's like it sounds right because they're young, and it's just they're just starting to get it right. They turn the corner very, very quickly. Adding Marcus Golden on defense is a really good thing. You know, Golden's comfortable there. He had played there. He's a good pass rusher. It's a good time to sign him. And then Kyler Murray is just this, you know, phenom who it's hard to quantify, hard to define, and, you know, you're just waiting for him to just maybe run too much, but he gets it. And his, you know, his vibe with Cliff Kingsbury is excellent, and, you know, we'll see what happens against his idol, Russell Wilson, and the Seahawks. But, I mean, NFC Championship, hey, that's a bold prediction. That's a good bold prediction, let's put it that way. I don't see it, but I can understand why he would say that.
Okay. How good are the Dolphins?
Dolphins are solid, man. They're solid. They're really well coached. I really like Brian Flores. You know, Brian Flores and Joe Judge to some degree, it's early for Judge, but Flores, they're two Belichick clones, disciples now. They're not clones, but two disciples who are kind of remaking the mold of what we've seen out of that. You know, Matt Patricia, Eric Mangini, guys who have kind of tried to say, what would Belichick do here? It just doesn't work. But these guys are themselves. Flores, he's a tough guy. He's a tough coach. He's a demanding coach. And he's got guts. And he's got, like, hey, I'm going to be aggressive. And part of that aggression was going away from Ryan Fitzpatrick when Fitzpatrick was as hot as he's been in his NFL career, saying, all right, it's time to start Tua. And we're winning football games. Time to start Tua, and they're 3-0 with him. So he gets it. And defensively, that's very unsung about. They are tremendous. They really put a lot of heat on the pass rusher, on the quarterback.
Somebody in the league said, around the league, said to me, I said, what do you think about Flores? They said, well, number one, I'll give any black head coach that's having success in the NFL a much better shot of really being good and it not being schedule and injury driven because they've had to do so much just to get to the job. Mm-hmm. They said, on top of that, I think he's really, really good.
Yep.
Right? And the guy had this rule of thumb. And he said, on top of that, I think he's really, really good. Like, how come he's such a – is the sign that Patricia – languished for so long in New England that everyone should have known he's not that good because nobody hired him and Flores had 1 year and then immediately got grabbed?
Yeah.
Is that the sign that he's the rock
star?
That's
a good question. I don't know. I mean, Patricia kind of rode that, all right, Belichick coordinator, moves up the ladder, smart guy, that chemical stuff, he's a rocket scientist for a while at MIT. And, okay, really smart guy. They win the Super Bowl. Or I think they lost the Super Bowl that year, right? They lost to the Eagles the year that Patricia took the job in Detroit, if I'm not mistaken. Because the next year, Flores, they had a great game plan against the Rams, and it was incredible. And he turned out to be the real deal because Flores was that coordinator for that Rams game. Some guys just have it, and it's just hard to find really good coaches. Coaches get a lot of opportunities now because there's so much turnover. It's a much more aggressive league as far as coaching changes. So guys are going to get a shot, and you're going to know early whether a guy can do it or not. And Flores has certainly shown it. Judge has got that same kind of vibe here with the Giants. Young guy, 38 years old, but, man, he's in charge, and he's not taking any guff. He just fired Mark Colombo as his offensive line coach after wanting to bring in Dave DiGuglielmo to kind of look over his shoulder because the offensive line was playing like crap, and Judge himself had to start coaching that line. So, you know, it's guys who know what they want. They have the vision. They have the fortitude to get through that hard part of building the program, and they can see what they want. And Flores is that guy. He's got the vision thing down.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's get to our final four. We're talking to Bob Glauber, our NFL insider. He joins us here in the program. Our final four is brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have a strain, sprain, fracture, or sports-related concussion, the University of Kansas Health System has a Saturday morning walk-in clinic at 435 in Knoll. See a sports medicine physician without an appointment Saturday mornings through November 21st. For more info, go to kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Bob, we'll move fairly quickly here. Let's start with this. Sure. Do you like Obi Toppin going number 8 to the Knicks, yes or no?
I don't care. I don't know basketball enough.
Don't
care. Don't know basketball enough. He's from Dayton, okay. Right?
Yes.
Okay. My idol, Vinny Gitrani, who covered the Giants, and I learned from him, went to Dayton, so I guess I like him.
Okay, there you go. Don't care / like him. No reason. Let me make sure I want to document this so that you don't, you know, 5 years from now tell me about it. You know how I loved Obi Toppin.
I always loved Toppin. I always loved that pick. That was a great pick, right? I can't say that.
Exactly.
No.
The 2020 MVP will be who?
The 2020 MVP will be, what's Mahomes' middle name? Do they have a middle name? It'll be Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Go Mahomes on that one. Okay. Who lasts longer, not who has the job for more years. Now moving forward, who is in their current job longer, Matt Nagy or Doug Peterson?
Doug Peterson. I think Nagy might get the gate after this year. Peterson won't. You win a Super Bowl, you got 3 years, man.
Do you? Okay. Well, this is 3, isn't it?
Yeah, but you got more than 3. He's got, like, it's Philly. I know that he's going to stay. So Nagy, okay. I would say Peterson stays longer than Nagy at their current job.
Well, you know, he needs to win this division because it sucks. He needs to win this division because he's starting to look Dan Quinnish with Frank Reich and Indy. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan leaving the Falcons and going to San Fran.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point, that's what Colt fans think. They got the guy who won the Super Bowl for the Eagles.
Interesting.
That's fair. Just keep an eye on
that's
it.
Fair, but I do like – I think Peterson
You've already answered. Next, you know, last
you
question.
You might be right, but go ahead.
All right, last question. In the end, Bill Belichick, who is right now considered number one, hands down the undisputed best head coach in NFL history, will carry that distinction, or he'll be thought of more as Chuck Knoll, a guy who got it all done with one quarterback.
No, because Knoll got it done with one quarterback, one team. Belichick has won multiple Super Bowls with the Giants before as a coordinator.
No. Nobody gives a crap about the assistant coaching. They don't.
No, he won't be.
I'll put you down for number one undisputed. But if he has seasons like this, he's going to get dragged down to, like Shula got dragged down at the end, like Knoll got dragged down at the end. He'll be brought back to the pack, especially if Andy Reid is ringing the Super Bowl bell on a regular basis here moving forward. So get that, Bob. Always great talking to you, my friend. Get back to writing.
Right,
we'll speak again soon.
You got it. Take care, sir.
All right. The best, Bob Glauber, our NFL insider from New York Newsday. We'll take a break, come back, give you the kicker. Some good news, right? Some good news about college sports next.
The program with Soren Petro.
I pee my pants.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt into the hour answer. Two players taken in the top 15 picks. had fathers who were taken number one overall in the common draft era. I asked for either one. One's Klay Thompson, his dad Michael in 1978, and Jalen Rose, whose father Jimmy Walker went number one overall in 1967.
Wow, that's pretty good combo right there. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue's got all kinds of great combos. Get it tonight. Use the app. Quickest, fastest, easiest way to do the curbside Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Find them online at joeskc.com. Holidays, great things. Send Joe's Barbecue. You can do it. Also, the Kansas City Barbecue store got you covered as well. Listen, I want to throw out a little love to our Ruse, Kansas City Athletics. I got this. We usually don't talk about these things, right? The good news goes by the wayside. 95% graduation rate. This released by the Ruse. 95%. It is the highest in the school's history, beating last year's mark by 3%. All kinds of programs at 100%. The federal rate, the student-athlete federal graduation rate is 66%, right? 66%. The student bodies at UMKC, 47. The athletes, 95%. Nice job, Ruse. Nice job.